Good morning and welcome.
Good morning and welcome. This is Microsoft Virtual Academy, and today is the second day of two. We're talking about developing Windows Store apps. No, we're talking about developing Windows Store apps.
But they happen to be universal.
But they happen to be the universal style.
Indeed.
Developing universal Windows apps with C Sharp and XAML. My name is Jerry Nixon, and I am here with Darren May. And fantastic. Yesterday we talked about a ton of stuff, Darren.
Yes, we did. We kind of went through a lot of the preamble, really introducing what universal apps are. And today we're going to dive more into some of the details of some of the supporting infrastructure around that.
Yeah, we talked about a lot of the concepts as well as the implementation of Prism as the MVVM framework for you. We talked about how to build up and interact with a service. And today we'll secure it and do all kinds of neat things as well. Before we go any farther, though, let me introduce who I am. So my name is Jerry Nixon. I'm a developer evangelist. I work for Microsoft and live in Colorado. So my job is to teach developers and be a resource for developers. And that would be every type of developer, not just the Microsoft developer, but anybody in my developer community as well. I talk to professional developers, students about Windows, Windows Phone, and especially about XAML. You can find me online, Darren, if you're looking for me, at jerrynixon.com or at jerrynixon at Twitter. Look forward to hearing from some of you. If you have any questions, that's a lot of fun. Darren, who are you?
I'm Darren, funnily enough. I'm a president and co-founder of a company called Crank211. We work out of Colorado, but we deal with companies on a national basis. We like to say we design and build digital products with a business mind, technology muscle, and a creative soul. I'm also a Windows Platform Developer MVP, and I've been working with XAML pretty much since it came out.
Makes sense to me. All right, so.
Good to see your artistic talents match your development skills.
Barry, stop drawing on the slides.
That wasn't me.
All right, let's set some expectations about what this course is like. This is not a beginner course. If you don't know anything about C Sharp and you're watching this course hoping to learn, you probably will. But this is not the course to start at. We have a handful of courses that Darren and I have already put together on here on MVA. You can see programming in C Sharp Jumpstart. It's also aligned with the certification as well. Mm-hmm. So you get the benefit of possibly passing that test and getting that certification as well. If you don't know anything about XAML, this is also not the course for you. Granted, there'll be a lot of stuff we're talking about XAML, and you will probably learn a few things. But if what you're wanting is to get your feet wet in XAML and you're wondering where to start, why not start right here in Microsoft Virtual Academy? We have the essentials of developing Windows Store apps with C Sharp and XAML, as well as the advanced. And those have both been refreshed for Windows 8.1, so all the latest production APIs.
Mm-hmm.
I say production because today is the day that everybody can get their hands on the bits and install the preview edition. Developer preview or consumer preview, did you?
I believe anybody can get in there, so who knows?
Let's call it just preview. I forget what we actually called it, of Windows 10. Giant release, woo-hoo! You heard it here first. Windows 10, yes.
And the site is live right now, so you can go out and sign up and start downloading the ISO. I've seen a number of people reporting in the chat that they're actually in so doing right now.
That's right, preview.windows.com. Show the power of Azure, how many people can download at one time.
Yeah.
That's probably right. Surely it's hosted on Azure.
Yeah.
Surely.
Sounds good.
All right. So those are some expectations of what we'll do today. This is a 200-plus level class. We'll just say it like that. There's no way to really measure that on an objective way, but
indeed,
it is certainly not starting.
If you know what we're
basics.
Talking about, you'd say it's level 100. If you've got no clue what you're talking about, you might think it's level 300. Who knows?
That's right. That's why we say it's level 200. We just average those out.
Exactly.
This is also a live class. If you happen to be in the live chat, Lots of thanks go out to our SMEs that are in there. That's subject matter experts. A lot of evangelists that are in there and local influencers who are in there showing off their knowledge as well. So
yeah, big shout out to those guys who did a cracking job yesterday in terms of keeping on top of all the questions and getting to them before we even had a chance to see.
Including Paul, who kind of drove me crazy because we were trying to answer some questions and he's answering them before we...
And he was doing too good.
He was doing too good.
Yeah, you know? So I think we fired him.
There's something about... being average that I like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just suits me. It's really nice. All right.
Set yourself low standards and continually fail to...
Not only do you have a live chat that you can interact with, and that's one of the benefits of being here live with us today, but also you get this little code, the DevUnivWinAppC1, that expires on Halloween. Is that right, Chris? It expires on Halloween? Yeah, it does. Chris is like, what?
Huh?
He's totally in a time warp. That's fantastic. All right, anyway, it gives you 50 extra MVA points that you can use later.
You can tell he's fast asleep because he hasn't started the timer yet.
You can buy a Tesla with these points, right?
Oh, really?
It is incredible. All you have to, if you can go back and watch live all of the old MVAs that are in the catalog, that'll be enough points.
Yep.
But all of those codes have expired, so it's not going to be possible.
It's unfortunate. We did get those, though.
We did. We drove here in our new Tesla.
Yeah, road trip on the way back. Anyway.
Quiet car. Very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice. Okay, there's. Let's just go through the order of events. And Barry, switch over to the course topics for a second. There you go. Great job. What is with Barry today?
Yeah.
He has that shirt on, and he thinks he's so cool. All right. Thank goodness he has a shirt on.
Yeah. Could you leave the slide up, please?
Now you can just demonstrate to him.
Okay.
Yesterday we started talking about just the basics of the Universal App, not even about code, just talking about what it means and how it means different things to different people.
For example, the perspectives for the end user, what they're trying to get out of Universal
App. That's right,
apps.
And the store, and the, what was the third one? And the developer,
yes.
Right. I'll give you an example. I'm a big Star Trek fan. I have three daughters. Yeah, right here. I have three daughters, and they all like Star Trek. It was my job as a father to make sure that they love Star Trek, right? As a nerd dad, you have to do that sort of thing. And they all like it for different things. It's really awesome. One of my daughters is really into Uhura. Girls are naturally drawn to girl characters. Really into it. Another one's all about the story and all the weirdness. Could that actually happen, Dad? I get that a lot. Of course... She's quite young. And then the other one is all about the technology. Like, she really thinks that the replicator would change the world. Well, she's right, right? Anyway, it's neat to see all three of them approach it from a different perspective, you know, but they all like it for a different reason. Anyway, just like that is the Universal App, right? Depending on who you are and where you
come
from.
Don't ever do that again.
Which one?
That whole analogy. Just don't ever do it again.
That analogy works fantastic. That's right. This isn't the analogy you're looking for.
Indeed. Now you're mixing your metaphors. Get on with it.
All right. So we talked about all the different perspectives in the Universal App and how people see them differently. But we also talked about where we are with the tooling and the store and everything else and how we deliver on all three perspectives. Then we talked about things you think about with design, strategies you might take when you're sharing code, this change in strategies you might take when you're sharing XAML, which is a little bit different.
And really thinking about the end user experience first.
And thinking first about the end user experience, and don't get carried away with all the dev nerd stuff and let that sacrifice the user experience. Then you showed us a pretty cool app.
Yeah, kind of run through the Solarizer application, just a recap for people. It's an application that represents a fictitious company that goes out and installs solar panels. There's two parts to it. There's a server side that we really haven't shown too much about, and then there's the client side. The client side is used by the sales engineer who's going to be dispatched out to an address to actually perform a local survey, assess a roof to determine whether it's a good candidate for solar panel installation.
It's a pretty great app and simplistic in its design, so it's really great. And we built it, for sure, not as a reference implementation, but more specifically to prove that what we're talking about today can actually be done. So here's the Solarize application. It's probably not the app you want to base everything off of as a template, but it certainly is one where we prove different technologies actually work inside an application and kind of show you if you were going to do this and you were going to use the Prism framework, if you were going to do this and you were going to use all the stuff that we're talking about around security and things like that, this is how you can implement it. So you may implement it differently. That's totally all right. We're just proving they can be done and showing you one way that works really well. All right, so if you're looking at the course topic slide right now, the second column is where we are today. We'll start off with security. That's a pretty intense one. If we happen to slip, that's an important one, by the way. Mm-hmm. If we happen to slip and we're at the end of this hour and we're not totally finished, we'll make sure we cover it because this is a big deal. Then we'll talk about local data, interacting with SQLite and different things like that. Communication around Toast notification, the new notification hub in Azure and how we use that awesome tool. And then we'll talk about the view services that we created. Of course, view services is an MVVM concept that basically abstracts things away. We'll show all the different things that we did there and some of the advanced features that we added in. And finally, the 13th one has a couple things about it. First, we're going to talk about some of the things we didn't do, but certainly would have done if we had all the time in the world. Yeah. Right?
It's given infinite time and infinite resource, it would have been awesome.
Yeah, that's totally right. And but we'll also have a Q&A at the end. And so just like we did yesterday, if you have some awesome things that somehow Paul can't answer, then we'll do our best. I
mean, yeah, we'll make something up.
Yeah, good luck. Exactly. Let's take that offline. All right, perfect. So that's what we'll do on the final one today. Meanwhile, let's start off with today's module.
Which is? Well, not today's, but now's module.
Well, today's now module. Now
let's
is today.
Say next.
Today is now.
Yeah. Okay, security.
Security.
So, in this particular module, we're going to look at Azure Active Directory, securing an application, implementing a login strategy, and securing a website. So, without further ado, let's touch on Azure Active Directory. Jerry, why would we use Azure Active Directory?
Well, there's a couple reasons. One is Azure Active, well, let's just take the Azure out for a second. Mm-hmm. Active Directory is probably the most proven and most used authentication mechanism in all the enterprises in the world.
Yep.
I don't know a better way to say that. I mean, it's
authentication and authorization.
Authentication, authorization, permissions, provisioning.
Grouping.
I mean, so much that
yes.
It does. So you don't have to go to a security expert and say, hey, use Active Directory. I promise it's really secure. They already know that it's secure, it's well proven, it's well established.
Yep.
Now we take that from on-premises inside your enterprise, inside your firewall, move that capability out into Azure. So I guess the better way to think about it is we can extend that capability mm-hmm. outside of your enterprise so that it's both in your enterprise and it's in the cloud, or like we're going to demonstrate today, you can only have it in the cloud. So there's no connection between them. That's ADFS stands for Active Directory.
Federated Services.
Federated Services. So that's that connector between your internal enterprise.
Yeah, and that's a key thing is the Azure Active Directory on a standalone basis has a subset of the overall capability of the on-prem Active Directory.
Yes.
However, when you federate it to an on-prem Active Directory, in effect, what it gives you is a massively scalable, publicly accessible authentication node that's hosted in the Azure service, so you're actually not directing all of this traffic straight into your firewall and so on.
Let me just back you up on that. So massively scalable is 100% true. One of the most successful online ventures for Microsoft has been mm-hmm. Office 365.
Yep.
That's the cloud provisioning of email, basically, and everything, but especially Exchange, right? And all authenticated through Azure Active Directory.
Yep.
So it's a massive number of things. I think I heard the number and I just lost it. There's a gigantic number
of
authentication.
It's probably larger than three.
It's larger than three by a lot. I'm looking it up because it's easy to find. Keep going.
Okay. So fundamentally, that's the idea. And as you mentioned, anybody who has a Azure subscription has a directory.
Yep.
There's a default directory that's created for everybody, and you can go in there and create users and so on and so forth. In addition, you can create additional directories that you can use and scope for your application directly. As we kind of mentioned, it's out there, it's cloud-based, it's a subset, has a fixed schema, unlike an on-prem Active Directory where you can actually extend out the schema and attach additional elements and so on and so forth to it.
And because it's in the cloud, you have a lot of added value that you can do. You can easily integrate it with other services that would usually be, there'd be a barrier with that firewall. And so if you go into Active Directory in Azure today, you can see it's already wired up for a lot of third-party
You mentioned
services.
Office 365, Salesforce.com, many other services.
The list goes, I mean, it's a freaking long list.
It is a long list. It is a long list. And it's going to continue to grow as more and more services migrate to it. So it's definitely a place to be. The other nice thing about it is they've implemented a number of different protocols to enable you to leverage it as an authentication source. You know, yep. OAuth and so on and so forth. You can also leverage multi-factor authentication.
You sure can. You can have it call and or text you, either one, and send that out to you. It's a the service itself is free, but every time it's used, there's
a little bit of a cost.
There's a little bit of a cost.
Infrastructure service charge there.
Yeah, that's right. But you know, two-factor authentication really changes the nature of the authentication as well, as far as how you can trust it. Mm-hmm. You know, I may issue out those little RSA tokens, you know, that everybody puts on their keychain, and it has a little number that matches what's on the server. That's an expensive cost. And there's quite a bit of infrastructure around it as well. Two-factor authentication drives the same kind of idea that only you have your cell phone, only you have access to your email or whatever, and so we can have two-factor that way. It's not the poor man's approach either. It's really awesome.
It is awesome, and there's also the mobile apps that are available on all the platforms that actually auto-generate in very similar way to the RSA key fob.
Yeah, that's right.
So obviously By running on Azure, you pull into the Azure Service Level Agreement, and there is a specific SLAs related to Azure Active Directory.
That's what makes it awesome, right?
Indeed.
It's not up and down, up and down. It's a promise. We've already extended this out with Office 365. Is used now by, I forget the number, but it's a really large percentage of the Fortune 500. And those, of course, naturally will have to use ADFS. Mm-hmm. So if you think about the SLA necessary to keep those businesses in place, we all benefit from that.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, it's kind of how the shared infrastructure comes to be viable in reality. If you dog food it, then it's going to be unreliable. It's like what happened to WPF when it was used to be the basis for the new UI in Visual Studio.
It only got better because now we're really using it.
Exactly. Oh, this is what you want.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I see what you mean. That doesn't work. I'll fix that. And then they did. And from a nerd perspective, we've got the graph query, which basically allows us to use APIs to call into Active Directory and interact with the data, query the data, manipulate the data, right? A lot of people have written management consoles of their own now that use the API so that the administrators can go in and manage it from there. As far as ADFS, it is at least worth pointing out that the cloud loses. If you implement or if you make changes on-prem, they always win. So it's never you just overwrote my enterprise. It's always the enterprise is always pushed up to the cloud.
Sounds like a plan.
Yep. So
let's create a tenant.
Let's see what a tenant looks like.
Okay.
We just introduced the word tenant, but it's worth saying that tenant and directory are almost the same. Tenant is really a sandboxed directory.
It is, and there's a challenge, I think, in a lot of this integrating with Active Directory. There's a lot of key terms that are leveraged within Active Directory that don't necessarily mean the same things as what we've said, but we use them elsewhere.
Yeah.
And also, as we roll through these applications, you're going to see identifiers that don't necessarily map between the SDKs that integrate with Active Directory and the tokens and everything within Active Directory itself. So we'll try and call those things out as we go through. So without further ado, let's dive in and create a tenant. So we're going to head out to manage.windowsazure.com, which is the old school portal. We're logging in with our live account. That gives us access into the portal itself. As you can see, we've got a particularly fast internet connection today. So here we're seeing
that is awesome.
Yeah. So here we see, when we come into the dashboard, we see all of our services kind of rolled up. But we're going to scroll down and filter specifically on Active Directory.
A little triangle or cube shape.
So here we actually see the default directory and Solarizer, which is obviously what we're using for the app. But we're going to jump in and create a custom one just for the purposes of this demo. So here we've got create new directory. We have an option to use an existing directory for federation and so on. Going to give this a name. Let's go, what? Demo MVA? Yeah, sounds like a good one.
Yeah, you might as well. Let's see if it's taken.
Do we feel lucky? Yep, we're good.
So that little arrow just means it's unique.
Yeah. And we should probably say where we are. Okay. So now we're creating a tenant, to use the terminology here. Once that's done, we can now browse into it, and we can see that there's a number of different services that it provides, users and so on and so forth. So in order to be able to use this, we're going to create a user. We can see by default, the creator is added to the directory. Now, one of the neat things is you can create all manner of different roles. We can bring in users from existing directories, create a new one, so on. So let's just create a new one. Let's create admin. It's kind of a convention that we use. First one we create is an admin.
So if you're creating an app or like a family of apps, a tenant may be great just for that app or family of apps.
Gives you a nice limited scope.
That's right. You can roll in the users that you need, and you can automate adding them. You don't have to come to this website.
So here we see the roles, and we can assign global administrator to this particular role. So that's moved it from being tied exclusively to our live account to whatever we're going to use. And we can actually transfer it over as well. That's one of the neat things as well. We can transfer over the admin of the tenant. So when we create our user, we actually get a temporary password created for us. We can't actually leverage this user until we've activated the account. So I'm going to copy this password into the clipboard.
So you can't set the password here. They get a temporary password that is changed
on login.
On their first login, okay.
Exactly. So we're going to log out.
And now you're logging out of Azure.
Which is also logging me out of that live account.
He's going to log back into, maybe it's a she. She's going to log back into Azure.
Effectively, we're logging into Azure, but what we're really doing is exercising the authentication scheme, which really then turns around and redirects us to change our password.
Got it.
So just because I've created this account doesn't mean it actually has an Azure subscription and so on and so forth. I'm just leveraging this authentication mechanism to actually refresh and update the password. So now when I enter in the new password.
So this account was already provisioned. Now it's just getting the password that you want.
Correct.
Logging into Azure. No subscription, but that's what you would expect. This is a brand new user.
Correct. And so now we have a user that's available in our tenant. And that's pretty much all you need to do to set up a tenant and create users that you can then start authenticating into your account.
And because it's Azure, I can start adding you as not a user even, I can add you as an administrator. You could come in and you could manage that with me.
Absolutely.
And then as business changes, I can actually be removed as an administrator. Now you manage it or it keeps moving around or
exactly.
Send off to
it's
IT.
Not coupled to whomever originated it. You can transfer that around. It truly is a tenant and a series of users that belong within the subscription that's managing it.
I don't know if there is an upper limit to the number of tenants that you can have in an individual MSDN subscription. Everybody gets one out of the gate, but there's probably a practical limit and certainly a management limit. You can only have so many.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can also put users into groups and so on, and as we'll show later on, you can register applications to be able to access a particular directory. And it's
well, that's going to be, that's our demo, right? Because it's all about giving access to individual things, not just a service on a web server, but also the application by itself that may not talk to it.
You're going to take the deck?
I sure will. Let me click around here real quick, and I'll make sure we're caught up. All right, I got it.
Okay.
All right, so this is for just the application, right? Securing your application is, imagine that you're writing, let's call it a native app, because that's what everybody's calling it here, a native app, a universal app, a Windows app, that you need to secure. You need to push this out to phones. You need to push this out to devices. And you need to make sure that whoever is using it, you know who they are. Mm-hmm. And you don't want just anybody to use it. You know, maybe it doesn't have a service in the back end. Maybe it's just a training app. Maybe it's, I mean, I don't know what it is, but something.
I mean, it could be an app that has two levels of experience. It could be an app that has an initial sort of unauthenticated experience, which goes through and allows you to browse content passively. And then perhaps if you want to be able to edit content within the application, then you need to log on and provide credentials and so on and so forth. So a number of different reasons why you might need security and authentication in your app.
Right. And then if you're a user and you're trying to decide, or if you're a developer trying to decide how to authenticate your user, one of the things that you can do is just let that user try and talk to the graph query directly, just at a generic level. And as soon as they do, they're going to have to log into Active Directory. Mm-hmm. And that'll be enough to know that they're fully authenticated. Now you have information about that user as well. You know their first name, last name, email, and mm-hmm. whatever it is you've added to.
Let's step back for a second. If you're building a universal app, why is choosing Azure Active Directory a good choice? If you're going to roll your own, all of a sudden you have to deal with a number of different scenarios: password recovery, verification, validation,
encrypting
rules,
the password,
and so on and so forth. You know, that's a lot of infrastructure and stuff that you need to build.
We've all built. Have you ever built that?
Maybe once or 1,000 times.
Yeah, totally.
And it becomes a real pain in the butt, in all honesty. So the great thing about leveraging an existing service and a directory service like this is all of those things are already taken into account for you.
Yeah.
You
know,
they are dealing with a security requirements that are much, much higher than you'd ever have the time to build yourself. And it's certainly being volume tested in a way that we could never test our own implementations.
Yeah.
So why not use it?
And it's not even the notion of cracking a nut with a steamroller idea, right?
Yeah.
I mean, certainly you are, but as your app grows, you have plenty of opportunity to just continue to scale and not worry about ever getting at where you build a user's table, and all of a sudden you have to worry about whether or not that'll scale when you get to your 3 or 4 millionth user.
And do you want to be the user who has, or the developer rather, who has to justify why the choices that were made in your custom security layer when it was compromised?
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody wants to be that guy.
That's exactly right. Now, you still might have an extension table, a user's table. And I think if you look at our Solarizer application, we still have a user's table.
Yep.
We don't store password or anything like that. We allow authentication to be offloaded over into Active Directory. But there we store things like what our preferences might be. So for example, if you want to have a blue background instead of a red background or whatever, then we can store that preference in the table, associate that to the record that's in it.
Yeah, the reality is, you know, to use Galactic Attack as an example, you're not going to store your high score in the directory service. You know, you're going to have some adjunct table that shares a key that you can use to cross-reference between those and provide that additional information, almost profile information and so on.
Yep. I suppose you could try to store it in, but that'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, I've seen it done, though. I have seen it done.
Yeah.
Abuses of Active Directory.
All right. So, let's see. Let's talk about implementing login now. So, implementing login is really a strategy around universal apps on where you put all of the stuff that needs to be there. And remember, yesterday we talked about the launch process, and there was a slide that was very complex, and it showed this, then that, then this, then that, then this, and there's a lot to think of because there's timing issues you have to consider. There are all the pieces of whether or not the UI is even rendered yet, and technical requirements that things have to be in place before you can call security.
And then on the platforms, continuations versus actually running in-app context.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's going to be a little bit different for phone than it is for Windows. And so there's a lot to consider. And so that's what we mean by how to implement login, where to put different things. And so the implementation, there's a couple things to know about using Active Directory. One of them is this idea of silent login. And this doesn't mean there's a user who doesn't have to log in. What it really means is...
And it doesn't mean he's keeping his mouth shut when he does.
Doesn't mean he's not talking, right?
Yep.
Gosh. We'd use that feature all the time.
Yeah. That the Nixon.
Silent, yes, thank you. I knew it. The silent login is really the single sign-on experience for somebody who has already logged in once.
Yep, and they still retain a valid token.
Mm-hmm.
And that will allow them to pass through the login experience without actually having to interact.
On both Windows and Windows Phone, the login experience is taken care of by the web authentication broker.
Yep.
And the web authentication broker is shared across the entire operating system, which means I could go into a service that is secured, or a website, let's say, that is secured by my Active Directory. The web authentication broker would be presented and I would log in. I would go into an app that would also try and access something secured the same way. The web authentication broker would be there, and it would already recognize me because I had been there from the browser. That's one nice thing about this implementation is it's shared across the entire operating system. So you get this opportunity for single logon. But there's also this notion of I go in and log in, close the app, come back in, go in and log in. But there's a token that's been stored, so it already knows that I'm fully authenticated. I can log out. Right, but if I don't log out, I have this token that there's a timeout for that.
There's a timeout if you haven't logged in for a period of time, but every time you pass through that login process, you receive an extension, which is kind of a nice thing.
Right, one thing worth remembering is the back stack will be changed as you navigate, right? Of course it will, and so we need to take care of the back stack, but I think it's going to be easier for me to show you how this thing works. So let me... crack my knuckles here. It's going to be fun. All right. I got a long list of things that I want to do here. So let's just start. I've got a basic application. And one of the things I've done here in this application is I've already registered the ADAL service. So ADAL is both an SDK from Azure, as well as the ADAL service, which is a wrapper that you and I have written that make it so that it's really easy to interact with the SDK and use it inside a universal app. And so I'm going to start building out here. So I'm going to add a page that will be our login page as well as our main page. So it'll be a simple kind of navigation, the simplest implementation kind of login as we can do. I'll use full Prism to make sure that this feels like a demo that's realistic and not one that's just kind of silly. And so I have Unity, and I'll use Unity to container to inject, there we go, inject dependencies into our view models. And I'll try and take as few shortcuts as I can. I've got a couple snippets that I'll paste in here in just a second. So here I am inside app.xaml.cs. And this is, of course, everything that loads at the beginning. There's two that I'll have here, the on loaded, but right now, let me update on initialize. This is where I set up all of the different interfaces that I'm going to use and inject into my view models. So again, we're using the Unity container. I'll set up the ADAL service that you and I have created as a wrapper around the SDK. ADAL stands for
Active Directory Authentication Library.
Authentication Library. That's what it is. And nice team, that. You know, did you know I do a show called Dev Radio. I just interviewed the PM for that product. He's a really great guy. All right, so there are two things that happen inside that service after logout and after login. These are really important events. What happens is when the user successfully logs in, of course, the after login is raised, and the first thing we do. That means they've already been to the login experience. So look what we're doing. We're taking the navigation service and we're clearing all the history. Remember, the back stack has now been cluttered by the login page. And so the first thing we do is clear that, and we immediately navigate them to main if the user is logged in. So we're going to need that else to say, if they're not logged in, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to send them straight back to the login experience, right? And so remember, this is the Prism navigation. So all we have to do is pass in what experience we want them to have, not a type or anything like that. So I just copied that logic. Let me paste it now into the after logout. So now this logic is going to be, it's about the same, I guess, actually, right?
In reality, yeah.
The user just logged out, so I'll clear their history. And we'll take them straight to the login experience so they can log in. Right? That kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Now we're in the launch. This is what happens right at the beginning. This is going to be different logic, right? I don't need to know if they're logged in. Now I need to actually invoke the silent login to go get the token and test to see whether or not that token is valid. So that is, you know, this is an asynchronous operation. So let me add async, and then I'll just await whether or not that silent login returns true. And it's just a simplified method. And The reality is, as you mentioned, there's going to be two different approaches. Mm-hmm. There's an approach for Windows and there's an approach for Windows Phone. The service doesn't care, right? It'll work either way. But let me wrap this up inside a compiler declarative. What's the word?
Compiler? Pre-compiler directive.
Directive, that's right. So Windows underscore phone underscore app means this is special for Windows. And basically, now I have onActivated. We've never talked about onActivated, but onActivated is raised in one case by the authentication continuation. And so this is when you described yesterday, your phone application gets suspended and then gets reinvoked.
Okay.
All right, we can't do any sort of authentication until we actually associate this with the Windows Store. So this is Galactic Attack. I've just associated with the store. You can see the .store association.xml file there. And there's more that we're going to have to do, but I'll do all that on Azure. I'm going to associate both the Windows application, and here's the Windows Store application. So I'll select, when it pulls up, Galactic Attack. Right. So now both of my heads have been associated with the same universal app up in the store. So now they're ready for me to create a reference inside Active Directory. And this is important because it'll be redirected internally. That's what I need to do. So I'll go up to the Windows Store dashboard. There's Galactic Attack. And I'll edit it. And remember, this is where we set up in-app purchases yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so I can go over to the live services site. Here it is. And that's where I get my package SID. SID stands for security ID, I think.
Yeah, I think it does.
I think that's what it stands for. Anyway, so now that I have that, by the way, the security ID is the same for both Windows and phone, But don't go get it until you've associated it with the store. Otherwise, it has a temporary
initial one. That really messes you up when you try and use it for push notifications.
It really, really does, right? All right, so I'm going to add an application to our Active Directory, that demo MVA that you just made. I'll go in and add Galactic Attack. I'm going to do phone first, and this is going to be a native client, not a web application. So as soon as I do that, it's going to ask, what is that SID? Here's the SID, and a little developer tip,
security identifier.
Add a slash at the end. You absolutely have to add a slash at the end. So that's a little developer tip for you. That's only one application. Let me add the other. So if I have to do this for both heads, even though they share a SID. So this one will be for the Windows version. I'll paste it in and add that little slash at the end to make sure that it works. There's no getting around it. You have to have the slash.
Yeah, whenever we emphasize something, that is an echo of an old scar.
Yeah, that's totally right. All right, so here's the application. It's the configure tab up at the top that'll give you the client ID. That's the trick. That's what we need to have is the client ID. So now we can go back, and where I had to do later for the ADAL service, now we can fully implement it. And so it's going to ask for two things. The first is going to be the tenant. And the tenant is basically the name of the directory that you created earlier, that demo MVA.
Yep.
So let me put demo MVA, but the whole thing.
It's a good job I created that.
Yeah, great. Great work on Microsoft.com. And now it's going to ask for the client ID. But I just pasted a specific client ID. I need to do this different depending on which head it is. So I'm going to do this just with a conditional pound if. And so the first one will be the phone. That's the one I just grabbed from the website. Now I'll add another one that I'll do for the Windows application. So let me kind of nuke that out of there. That's not going to be the same. I'll go over to Azure and get
it. Because if you leave that the same, it doesn't work, does it?
No, it doesn't. All right, so let me just copy this over from Azure, right? Azure creates that for me, and this is sort of the shared secret between them in a sense. All right, I'll close those two things out. Now I know that the ADAL service is set up correctly, that I handle continuation correctly, and that I check for whether or not they're logged in the after login and after logout. Now I need to create the UI experience. So let me do that as quick as I can.
Yeah, and it's worth pointing out that, re-emphasizing just how much the MVVM app base really simplifies that. Writing that by hand inside the default implementation of app.xaml.cs is painful.
Yeah, and it really is because we attempted that before we adopted Prism, which simplified a lot of things. So again, we set up Unity in the container so that the ADAL service was something we could inject into our view models. So here it is. I've set it up so iADAL service is a request in the constructor. And so now the onNavigated to is checking to see if it's logged in. This basically says if you're coming into the login page and you're already logged in, then go ahead and invoke or raise up the after login event so that the logic that we put in AppXAML.cs can go ahead and be raised and navigate them to the experience after they log in, right? So this is basically don't log in twice. Now I'm going to create a quick property of, this is a delegate command that we can basically wire up a button, and this is what it's going to do. It's just going to invoke login. So not a lot of complexity here, but it's going to get the job done, even though it's quite simplistic. And so now it's the main experience that we need to create. This is the view model for the main page that we'll create in just a second. Just like before, I'm going to have the ADAL service as an injection or a requirement into this view model. And so I'll just set it up so I store it inside a field. And just like the previous one, I can use onNavigated to. And we'll check the same thing. I'm not going to send them on to main if they're logged in. Obviously, we're in main. What I really want to say is if they're not logged in, now we need to do something else. What am I going to do? I'm not going to put that logic here. That's not the right place for it. I've already set up the logic if they're not logged in. And I can raise after logout. So how could they get to this experience if they're not logged in at all? I don't know. I'm just accounting for just in case they are. The raise after logout is an event, or that raises the after logout event that's handled for me already at a global level.
Defensive programming is a very good stance to take, is assume the worst and make sure your code deals with it.
Hang on just a second, let me type something. All right, so that was the command for the main page as well, so we can log in. We're just a really basic UI, if you don't mind. So here's the login page. I'll use the hub because it lays things out nicely pretty quickly. And so I'm going to need to add a button inside the section here. So that's going to need a data template, and I'll just toss in the login button. simple enough UI. I'm not going to do anything else, but I do need to bind this up to my the command that I have.
Yeah.
Right? Log in command. Of course, it's not going to have a wire up to a view model yet, so let me just go through the Prism piece of adding my Prism namespace up here and doing the auto wire up for the with the locator. Perfect. All right, so that's my login page. It's pretty simplistic, but it really does get the job done. I'm going to need a little bit of UI so I can handle logging out from the main page. I probably wouldn't really put a logout button on a main page looking at this. I would probably put it in a flyout or some other way.
In the settings, something like that. You know, it's something you expect to be performed infrequently, certainly in a single sign-on solution. So yeah, I think the settings is a great place for it.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, that's where we put it on Solarizer.
I'm going to go ahead and include the name so I can show how we can get user info. So I'll do both the user that's logged in, so it'll say, welcome, you know, Darren, and I'll also wire up that button to the logout command. Let me wire up the view model locator here, and so that's all set up. So as simple as it goes, I will open up and add that name property because that'll show off a little bit more. The right place to set the name, I suppose, is right here. If they're not logged in, then I need to raise log out. But if they are logged in, then I can assume that the name is there. I can use the ADOL service that was passed in. That's what has the user information that I can use in the user info. Given name is first name. Family name is last name. So we'll just take that. I'll switch over so that...
stick in the iView.
I forget that almost every time, so let me just correct that for also for the login page as well. You have to have iView, otherwise that that wire up doesn't work for view model. I mean for the view model locator. All right, now I can debug it. We'll run this on the phone. Here's my application, and remember it's right there in app XAML, so it immediately tries to not authenticate, but send me to a place where I can prompt it. Yesterday we talked about how that login button was important, partly because it ensures that there's a UI, and this the web authentication broker that I'm looking at right now, that requires that the UI first be rendered. So that solved the problem for us by having a login button. All right, I just logged in. There's the page. I could hide that with a little extra logic. And there I am on the main page. Welcome, Mr. That's our temporary user. That's what his first name was. So he logs out. Immediately, the logout is raised. I get renavigated to log in. Let me log in again. In fact, let me log in again and show you that if I kill the app, I can use the token. Let me log in as the same guy, admin at demomva.onmicrosoft.com. And password here. Very good. So this guy will log back in. You can see it. There we go, back to main page, welcome Mr. with the logout button. But I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to close the app with the back button. Let me switch over. I'm going to load the app back up. And it should remember, should remember who I am. Welcome Mr. I don't even get the login screen because I'm already logged in.
And that silent login just does the job.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we did a couple of things here. We went into Azure, set up the client. We had to set up both heads, both for Windows and for Windows Phone. Set up both of those, and when I did, what I needed to provide to it was the SID, and I didn't get a SID. I had a temporary SID I could have gotten, but it would have been the wrong one. I had to first associate with the store, then I go into Azure, set up those, pass in the new SID, which is shared between both Windows and Windows Phone. And both of those come together. It gives me the client ID. That's what I use to set up the ADOL service. Then I can ask the ADOL service whether or not I'm logged in. I can ask it to do all the login for me, and I can listen for login and log out events. And we set it up with Prism. And in a small way, this is exactly how we have Prism. This is exactly how we have Solarizer working. I just wanted to do it in a real simplistic way so you can see how to manage the login experience. So pretty great. Universal applications share a single app ID, but remember, only after they are associated to the store. Beautiful. The web authentication broker cannot be called until the UI has been rendered. This is a lesson learned by us. Very important as well. And finally, the single sign-on experience is very handy for users, but it's actually quite a challenge for us to debug, especially if you mistakenly say, remember me, or what? I don't know what it actually says. Keep me logged in.
Yeah, that's keep me logged in, yes.
Yeah.
That can be painful.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's really painful. Don't click keep me logged in is the trick of it all. All right, how to secure a service. Let's secure a service. So this is not the app, but now it's the website or web service.
So one of the great things about what's the tooling has been going on in the MVC world and the .web ASP.NET Web API world is that an awful lot of automation has occurred to really simplify this process. So we can now secure services with a single client token, easy for me to say.
Yeah.
And services can be uniquely secured with a number of different capabilities. And they've been included into the wizard for actually setting up and creating these web APIs.
It makes it embarrassingly fast. It's all set up so nicely.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the tokens that are put in place originally when the first versions of the sign-in with Windows authentication or the Azure authentication, the websites were secured with a SAML-based token. And that was great for a web application that was working in a single sign-on environment. It was pretty much an enterprise standard, but it's a very heavyweight protocol and wasn't really optimized for web APIs and REST-based services and so on. So the team have adopted a model which is pretty common out there in the open source world, which is JWT, JSON Web Tokens, which is a much more lightweight way to pass around tokens for service calls. So you have an HTTPS secured service and you pass this token in the header and so on. So it's actually pretty slick and the tooling really does a great job in integrating this. So let's kind of walk through that.
I'm going to go clean up Active Directory.
You clean up Active Directory.
So when you get in there, it'll be clean and ready to go. How about that?
Give it a shot. Okay, so we're going to create a service for Galactic Attack, imaginatively named Galactic Attack Service.
Nice. So this is where we would store high scores or something.
And so we've seen this wizard before, but now we're going to change our authentication to, say, use organization accounts. So we're going to put in our demo MVA domain, which is also our tenant.
Visual Studio 2013, update 3.
We're actually running right now. We leverage the single sign-on. This thing, I cannot emphasize enough, you must log in to a user that is in your Active Directory domain, not your Windows Live account. Otherwise, you get a bizarre error that doesn't explain what's going on, and you have to shut down Visual Studio.
Okay, so you're not logging in as a subscription owner.
No.
You're logging in as the global administrator.
Correct.
Makes sense to me.
Okay, sit there whilst it pulls down the authentication. Once it's done, it dismisses that. I'm going to click OK. So now it's going to provision up a web service. So this is really just a very, very straightforward web service wizard that's running.
It says creating project, but it's actually creating the project and talking to Azure.
That's key. And now if we come down and have a look at the web.config, what we see in web.config is we pulled in information around our tenant, the audience, so it's actually registered this app out on the portal for us and pulled in that SID already for us. So it's done much of the things that Jerry had to do manually to register his client has already been complete. The OWIN, by convention, expects a startup class, mm-hmm. which we've dropped into the root here. And it also invokes this other aspect of the partial for the startup. And this is all that's necessary to inject Azure Authentication into the pipeline for this web service API. So now it will automatically leverage OWIN and will automatically look for a token and will automatically verify and validate that and either return an unauthorized error if you're not entitled to access this service, or it will pass through and then call your service.
All the references are there automatically. I mean, it's just brilliant.
And so here we see the service installed out on the directory.
And I just removed that, so that injected that for you.
Correct. And here we can see it's set up right now with a redirect URL to the local host, so we can actually test it inside SQL Express.
Once you deploy that up to Azure websites, you would change it to the real.
We would change this over to the real redirect, and we show this.
You could do this locally, too, and just see if it works.
And here's the SID that it pulled in. This is the unique resource name that's been given to it as it was published, and you see these values all match that which was written inside the web.config. What I'm doing
that
now.
That was auto-generated, wasn't it?
Yeah, is I'm downloading a manifest file. Currently, this is the only way that we can add permissions to this service that other applications can leverage to invoke.
I have it on good authority that this is a pain in the neck.
It certainly is. I don't know who has shared that pain. And it's magic because right now you see on line 4 there, app permissions is an empty JSON array. We're actually just going to copy in some magic code that we prepared earlier, which sets up a permissions.
I also have it on good authority that this is getting a lot easier fast.
Yes, there are enough people that have complained about this. So basically what we're saying is set up a permission that allows an application to leverage this service, and it will impersonate the user that's logged into that application when it's running this service. So we just drop it into this JSON, we save it, we're then going to flip back to the Azure UI. We're going to close this dialogue, and then we manage the manifest again, and now we're going to upload that modified JSON file.
Exhausting.
And so this is the high-tech, awesome user experience for adding in a permission
Darren,
to a
service.
Darren,
it is what it is. We know it's a little bit of a pain, but the reality is all of the detailed settings are just stored as JSON format,
yep.
And there's no UI to edit it yet.
Absolutely. And so that's basically how you set up a service for authentication. And it's very, very simple. Now, obviously, I didn't put any business logic in there, but it's exactly the same as writing any other web API.
Makes sense to me. Let's switch back to my slides for a second. Apps can do two different things. So like I demonstrated, apps can be authenticated at startup, and so require the user to log in with or without service interaction, or you could wait until they actually need those required resources, which could actually be a nice experience for the user. They can come in, monkey around with some stuff, so to speak, and then once you need authentication, you push them through the process of logging. Dial it down, Barry. All right. But then you could ask for it then. That's what you showed. Then I go in and I request that. I'm going to get a failure, by the way, if I try and access your service without a token.
You get an unauthorized.
So we created a wrapped HTTP client. There's two things that you have to set. We showed this yesterday when you're calling out to a web API. You set the JSON as the what you're wanting to accept. That's basically communicating mm-hmm. to web API. Hey, when you send the data back to me,
use the JSON format, yes.
As JSON format. But then we have this authorization.
Mm-hmm. And so this is a convention. You know, if you have an authorization header, that's expected to be where you're going to place tokens. And we created a wrapper inside our ADAL service that leverages the underlying ADAL SDK to generate the correct JWT token that we can embed as the value for the authorization header.
As a defensive programmer, you might check to make sure the auth header is there before you use it, but mm-hmm. nonetheless, it's all wrapped right there. I know what some developers might be thinking, I'd like to get my hands on this ADAL service. It's right there inside Solarizer. All the Solarizer
code. Just click on the PayPal link.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. All the code for Solarizer will be up on xaml.codeplex.com shortly, right? And so you're probably wondering, where do I get all the source code? You get it at xaml.codeplex.com soon, so not today.
Absolutely. So let's sum up.
We're still typing on it, frankly. Yeah, let's look back. We talked about Active Directory, how it's proven, how we can use it, how it's in the cloud, and how basically it's free.
We then went through basically the securing an application approach. We created a tenant out in the cloud, and then we created a series of universal apps that integrated into that tenant and authenticated.
Finally, you showed us how you can secure the service itself to make sure that you have a web service out there that you're not worried about a whole bunch of apps calling into. They have to have this token. It's all handled and managed by Active Directory for you. A lot of power here. Honestly, there's a lot of moving parts. Mm-hmm. Hard to get right the first time if you don't really have a clear mind. Hopefully this will walk everybody through it. And there's a lot of terms that you're going to need to learn. And as far as resources, all of the Azure, is it azure.com or Azure? Well, that's where we got all of ours. But there's also a site on GitHub that we went to that has all the Azure samples.
Yes.
And it walks you through this step by step.
So ADAL is the underlying SDK that we leveraged has been open sourced. And so all the source is out on GitHub, so you can actually look at all of the framework and all the implementation and so on. So, you know, it's definitely a great resource. And we'll, of course, be reviewing Solarizer later on today, and we'll show some of these things in terms of how it was actually implemented in our side. So, you know, we had to get through this pretty quickly because there's a lot of content and so on and so forth, but we'll actually be able to go back.
I don't think we skipped anything. That was nice.
We didn't.
You know, step by step, we tried to do everything that's there, including how to put that token in, and honestly, wrapping it inside this service really Well, that almost documents it, to be honest,
exactly.
How it's supposed to be used. All right, so that's security for your application. Using Active Directory, really, it's brilliant. And there's no reason not to use it, to be honest. It's it's an easy thing to use. And
you
if you have an Azure subscription, which everybody can, it doesn't cost anything to have an Azure subscription, you get Active Directory with it. Beautiful. We're going to take a 10-minute break. We're going to come back and talk about something else I can't quite remember, but yeah, I'll remember then.
The next module.
Yes. See you in 6 minutes? 10 minutes?
Ten.
Ten even.